to be here.
I missed you so much.
Oh my god, me too.
How was, for those of you who don't know and haven't been following our Instagram, Faye got sick.
I got the COVID.
How was it?
It was not that bad.
You got it mild.
Yeah, I had it pretty mild. I was mostly bored.
Yeah. Did you accomplish anything?
No. Not at all.
I was talking to my dad. I was like, if I got COVID and I had to quarantine for like a month, I would get so much done because I just can't not. Because I'm annoying. Ugh. Wow. Well, and your whole family got it?
Yeah.
And you're okay?
Everyone lived.
That's good.
We're all good.
That is good. We hope you guys are still being safe. I have a few family members that aren't on my side, but Michael's side, that died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my stepmom's uncle died last night on Christmas. Aww. Yeah.
That's so from sad. COVID.
And our friend Mike's dad is not doing so hot.
That's really sad.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people in my life that have it really bad. So just because Faye didn't die.
Just
because
it was easy peasy lemon squeezy for me doesn't mean you won't die if you get it. So wash your hands and wear a mask.
And just stay the hell away from people.
Yeah, really. It's not worth it.
It's not. No, we're so close. We're so close.
Yeah.
I know we had to give up a lot this year. Like, we were planning on doing this, like, homemade Christmas out at my grandparents' farm. And then I was going to go visit my mother-in-law because we haven't seen her in a few years. And all that got canceled.
Yeah.
And it was a big old bummer. But you know what? I'd rather see them next year and not have seen them this year and they die.
Yeah, really.
So, like, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
We just have to suffer through a little bit more and yeah. Then we'll be good.
How was your last two holidays?
They were good. They were great holidays.
Yeah.
How were yours?
They were good. We really small Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. My husband didn't even go because he was traveling.
Oh, yeah.
So he quarantined. And then Christmas was good. We went out to my sister's farm. My nephew, her son, who lives full time with his dad in Kansas, came out for the first time in 1 year.
Aww, how's he?
He's actually like more mature now. He's 11.
Oh.
So like he's not quite a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
He's like a tiny, like a mosquito flying around.
Yeah.
And what's funny is her daughter is now 5. And now she is starting to be a little brat.
Really?
And I was like, huh, so it's not just a pace thing. It's a any child the age of 5 thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that because I haven't had a lot of children in my life.
Yeah.
So at least now I know from the ages 5 to 10, they're just absolute nightmares. Jerks. Yeah.
That's true.
So, like, maybe I could adopt an 11-year-old.
It's probably the best.
Yeah,
best
just option. Skip that whole 5 to 10 portion of their life.
Or get a baby, and then when they turn 5, send them away. Send them to boarding school. Return when they're 11.
Oh, jeez. Put them in an orphanage.
Yeah. But put, like, a hold on them. Like, I'm coming back. Just wait a couple years.
A hold.
No one else take this one.
That's funny.
That's terrible.
All right, well, we're doing something a little special since we haven't recorded in so long, so happy New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Happy
New Year's Eve.
What's a T word? Happy Thirsty Thursdays.
Hell yeah.
There you go. And I hope you guys are excited for our episode tomorrow on Fearsome Fridays.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna be back to the
normal schedule.
Yeah. So, like, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be grateful.
So, do you got any hot goss?
Let's see. I've been gone for like a month.
A month.
And yet nothing has happened to me.
You cut your hair.
I cut bangs and have pinned them up every single day since. I hate them so much.
They'll grow out.
They will.
I don't think they look bad. Well, they look a little weird right now, yeah. But
you know, you make mistakes at 3 a.m. It happens. Don't look at me.
I love that. What did you get for Christmas?
I got an electric kettle.
I Love that.
Which is awesome. I've been wanting one for like 5 years.
Are you keeping it in your bedroom?
No, that's a good idea.
Oh, I mean, it's for the house?
No, it's mine.
I have one in our kitchen, and then I have like a little mini coffee tea bar downstairs in the basement for whenever my husband works overnights. So he's got one down there too.
Ooh, you got a, this is a double kettle household.
Double kettle household, you know. Mm-hmm. We like our tea.
What'd you get?
I got a cordless vacuum.
Oh my god.
I know.
It's incredible.
I love it so much. Oh, do you wanna, I got you something.
I got you something too.
Okay. Here you go.
Oh my god.
I wonder what it is.
I wonder what this is. Can I open it?
Yeah, that too. There's nothing hidden in there. It's just exactly what it looks
like. Oh my goodness.
For those of you who can't see, it's a blanket wrapped in ribbon.
Oh. It's got unicorns on it.
Yeah, it does.
I love it.
Unicorn. Ooh, this is a book. I love books. Serial killer trivia? OMG. I love this.
I was hoping you could get use out of it, maybe.
I will.
On this here podcast.
Oh my god. Okay. Faye got me this book called Serial Killer Trivia by Nancy Alyssa Vasey and Curtis Giles Vasey. I'll post a picture of it on our Instagram. Do you like those? I made those.
I love them.
I made Faye.
They're so cute.
Tiny little containers for our tiny grocery stores.
If you didn't know, I happen to be obsessed with miniature things.
Yep.
And so there's these things called mini brands, mm-hmm. and it's like a ball, and then you open them, and there's like five little miniature grocery things in them.
Or the new ones, which are toys.
Yeah.
The toys are so freaking cool.
These are cute. This little
JoJo Siwa bow.
A little paint.
And a little Crayola paint set.
So cute.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I made a whole set of those little jars for myself up there. Uh-huh. And I made one for you, and I made one for my mom.
They're going to fit so well in my mini mart.
Oh my god.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I'm going to cry.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Do you wanna hear something?
Yes.
In 2019, 22 death row prisoners were executed in the United States. As of October 2019, there were 2,639 inmates waiting on death row.
Spooky.
I love this.
I'm glad you do.
It's gonna be my new bathroom reader. TMI. Gross. Okay. You're putting the bow in your hair?
Yes.
Oh my god, because you're a present.
I'm a gift to the world.
You're a gift to me.
Oh.
I missed you.
I missed you too. This is legit the first time we've seen each other in like a month.
And Faye is not contagious.
I'm no longer contagious.
So, we were very responsible, as much as it killed me.
It was so hard. I was just ready to show up at her door.
And just infect me.
Yeah, so cough on your face.
We could go through it together. Yeah, I know. Alright, well, I'm drinking water for this episode.
I'm not drinking anything.
So we can, I guess, not have that part. Yeah. No cheers. No cheers to you.
We're all business today.
Yeah, on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
We're only business. Okay. Alright. I'm going to tell you a really fucked up story. So
I can't wait.
Strap in. And I did want to preface this by saying, if you, listener, are, like, not into child abuse, not that people are into it, but, like, that you can't handle it, maybe just skip this episode.
Yeah. Come back. We'll still be here.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And that episode has no child abuse. So, like,
that you know of. No, it doesn't. It has none. It's got a 100-year-old baby, I'll tell you that.
Whoa. That's cool.
That is cool.
All right, I'm going to tell you the story of Dee Dee Blanchard and Gypsy Rose.
Ooh.
Have you heard of this story?
I have.
I think most people have. Yeah. And I've also watched the mini drama series on Hulu called The Act.
That was really good.
It was so good.
I loved it.
And I've also listened to a bunch of podcasts about it. But it was also fun to research it myself.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to tell you first about Dee Dee Blanchard's background.
Okay.
Dee Dee was born Claudine Petrie in Louisiana in 1967. During her childhood, she occasionally engaged in petty theft, often as a form of retaliation when things did not go her way.
Can't blame her.
The family expressed suspicion that in 1997, she might have killed her own mother by denying her food. But it was never proven.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So she was only, how old was that? 30. Can you imagine killing your mom whenever you're 30?
How old was her mom?
I don't know.
Had to be old.
Yeah. I mean, whenever I'm 30, my mom will be like 60-ish, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine being 30?
Ew. Oh,
God.
Can't relate. I'm a youthful 20.
We just hired a girl and she's 28 and I was like, "Wait, I think I'm 28 too. What year were you born?" And she's like, "92." I was like, "Me too. I'm 28 too."
That one day in the summer we sat on your porch for like 20 minutes trying to figure out how old we were.
That Remember one that? Time we were going to the bar. And we sat in my car outside of the bar for 20 minutes trying to do calculus or something. We just can't math.
We're not good at math.
We're not good at any type of, like, extreme thought.
Yeah. We're surface level people.
God. All right. When she was 24, she became pregnant by Rod Blanchard, who was then 17. I'll say this again. She was 24. He was 17.
That's not cool.
No. They named their daughter Gypsy Rose because Dee Dee liked the name Gypsy and Rod was a fan of Guns N' Roses.
Gypsy's a slur, by the way.
Oh. Isn't that it's wild? Not PC.
No. What? Can't name your kid that.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I never, like, thought about that.
Now, yeah.
Now, this whole time, I'm going to be saying Gypsy, like, a million times.
Well, you're talking about a person, so it's fine.
But, okay.
Because, you know, like, white girls are like, "I'm such a Gypsy."
Oh.
That's, like, uncool.
Shortly before Gypsy Rose's birth in July 1991, the couple separated when Rod realized he got married for the wrong reasons. Quote. Yeah, because he was 17.
No 17-year-old gets married for the right reason.
For real. No 17-year-old should get married.
Yeah.
Period.
Really.
All right, childhood of Gypsy Rose. By the time Gypsy was 3 months old, her mother was convinced that the infant suffered from sleep apnea and began taking her to the hospital, where repeated overnight stays with a sleep monitor and other tests found no sign of the condition. Nevertheless, Dee Dee became convinced that Gypsy had a wide range of health issues, which she attributed to an unspecified chromosomal disorder. She was Weird. Born that way.
She's special.
When Gypsy was 8, she was riding on her grandfather's motorcycle when they were involved in a minor accident. She suffered an abrasion to her knee, which her mother said was the visible sign of injuries that would require several surgeries to treat properly. And from then on, Gypsy, who had already been made to use a walker, was confined to a wheelchair. Although she was healthy enough to walk on her own.
Wow.
So she was 8 whenever she had to start using a wheelchair.
Because she scraped her knee.
Mm-hmm.
When my brother was little, we were on a walk to a garage sale and he skinned his knees and he did not sit down for, like, 3 days.
Oh, because it would, like, busted the
skin. He just stood. It was so weird.
Weird.
Anyway, imagine him in a wheelchair because he scraped his knees. Or, like, in a neck brace and, like, crutches. I scraped my knee.
All right. Gypsy often went with her parents to Special Olympic events. In 2001, when Dee Dee claimed Gypsy was 8, but she was actually 10, she was named the honorary queen of the Crew of Mid-City, a child-oriented parade held during Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Aww.
Gypsy stopped going to school after second grade. Her mother homeschooled her after that because her illnesses were so severe.
Oh, yeah, those illnesses.
I have a fun fact.
Yes.
Fun fact!
Ooh!
Gypsy managed to learn to read on her own through the Harry Potter books.
Aww.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. That's kind of advanced to learn to read, though.
Yeah. For real. I read the first book in third grade, and it took me, like, literally, like, half the year because I was a child.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine. All right. They were living with Dee Dee's dad and stepmom, but the stepmom got sick. So they started to think Dee Dee was poisoning her as well. So they kicked them out. They
Smart. Were like,
uh-uh, bitch. The stepmom made a miraculous recovery. So, like...
Wow.
Yep. They ended up moving to Slidell. In Slidell, she and Gypsy lived in public housing. They paid their bills with public assistance Dee Dee had been granted due to her daughter's medical conditions and Rod's child support payments. So, pretty much... through this whole thing, ever since Gypsy was born, Dee Dee, like, did not have a job.
Really?
At all.
So she's a full-time carer for her sick child?
Yeah. Yeah. Caregiver and homeschooler, and she's getting money off the government and her 17-year-old ex-husband.
That seems unfair to make a 17-year-old pay a...
I mean, he probably wasn't 17 at this time, yeah. But still, yeah.
Really?
A child, yes. Child playing... Paying child support. All right. They spent most of their time visiting various specialists seeking treatment of the illnesses Dee Dee claimed Gypsy suffered from, which she now said included hearing and vision problems. After she told doctors Gypsy had seizures every few months, they prescribed anti-seizure medication, which I'm sure is not good for you if you don't actually suffer seizures.
They didn't even, like, test her?
I guess not. A lot of this stuff... It was so infuriating because there was only, like, one doctor who even questioned it.
Wow.
Yeah. Several surgeries were performed on her during this time, and Dee Dee regularly took Gypsy to the emergency room for minor ailments. After Hurricane Katrina devastated the area in August 2005, Dee Dee and Gypsy left their ruined apartment for a shelter setup for individuals with special needs. Dee Dee and Gypsy's medical records, including her birth certificate, had been destroyed in the flooding.
Convenient.
Yeah. So they decided to move to Missouri. And in 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with a wheelchair ramp and a hot tub.
Aw, I want that.
Yeah. The story of a single mother with a severely disabled daughter forced to flee Katrina's devastation received considerable local media attention. And the community often pitched in to help the woman who now went by Claudina Blanchard. But I'm going to keep calling her Dee Dee.
Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. The outpouring of support included a great deal of charitable contributions. In Louisiana, mother and daughter had occasional stays in the Ronald McDonald houses during medical appointments. In Missouri, they received free flights to see doctors in Kansas City, free trips to Walt Disney World, and backstage passes to Miranda Lambert's concerts, where she was frequently photographed with the singer via the Make-A-Wish Foundation, in addition to the house Habitat built for them.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're just getting all kinds of free shit.
That's crazy.
Infuriating. Rod Blanchard also continued to make monthly child support payments of $1,200, as well as sending Gypsy gifts and occasionally talking to her on the phone. During one call on her 18th birthday, he recalls Dee Dee telling him not to mention her daughter's real age since, quote, she thinks she's 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I want to think I'm 14.
You can.
I'm 14.
Well... It's a good thing you're not drinking. All right. Rod and his second wife regularly hoped to get to Springfield and visit, but for a variety of reasons, Dee Dee would change plans. She told her neighbors in Springfield that Gypsy Rose's father was an abusive drug addict and alcoholic who had never come to terms with his daughter's health issues. Aww. And never sent them any money.
He seems so nice and helpful. Mm-hmm. That's rude.
So everyone that she lives around thinks that she's like this fucking saint. Yeah. And like, oh, they deserve this house. And oh my God, she's such a saint for taking care, devoting her entire life to her daughter. And after escaping that horrible ex-husband, like, it's fucked up. All right. Many people who met Gypsy were charmed by her. She was 5 foot tall,
aww,
nearly toothless mouth, large glasses, and high childlike voice reinforced the perception that she had all the problems her mother said she did. She often wore wigs or hats to cover her baldness. Her mother regularly shaved Gypsy's head to mimic the hairless appearance of a chemotherapy patient, telling Gypsy that since her medication would eventually cause her hair to fall out, it was best to shave it in advance.
That's so mean.
Mm-hmm. When they left the house, Dee Dee often took an oxygen tank and feeding tube with them. Gypsy was fed the children's liquid nutrition supplement Pediasure well into her 20s.
Oh my God.
Through a feeding tube!
Jesus. Does she, like, know how to eat?
She doesn't have any teeth. She just keeps getting her teeth ripped out. So she's got a few teeth.
But, oh my God.
Yeah. Straight up doesn't eat. Dee Dee used physical abuse to control her daughter, always holding her daughter's hand in the presence of others. Whenever Gypsy said something that either suggested she was not really sick or seemed above the purported mental capabilities, Gypsy recalls that her mother would give her a very tight squeeze. When the two were alone, Dee Dee would strike her with an open hand or a coat hanger.
Oh my God.
So, like, Gypsy was, like, I don't know, conditioned to just go along with whatever her mom was saying.
That is so scary.
Yeah. Medical interventions continued. This gets me so bad. Dee Dee had some of Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox, then extracted altogether to control her drooling, which Gypsy later claimed her mother had induced by using a topical anesthetic to numb her gums before doctor's visits.
Why?
I don't know.
What a psycho.
Who even thinks of that?
I know. And, like, what do you get out of that? Like, your kid's already presented as disabled. Like, why make their life even worse?
I don't know. The lack of salivary glands, coupled with side effects of the anti-seizure medication she was given, caused Gypsy's teeth to decay to the point that the majority of her front teeth were extracted and replaced by a bridge. Tubes were implanted in her ears to control her ear infections.
Wow.
All right. Ready for some hot goss?
Yeah.
Bernardo Flasterstein, a pediatric neurologist who saw Gypsy in Springfield, became suspicious of her muscular dystrophic diagnosis. He ordered MRIs and blood tests, which found no abnormalities. Quote, "I don't see any reason why she doesn't walk," end quote. He told Dee Dee on a follow-up visit after seeing Gypsy stand and support her own weight. After contacting Gypsy's doctors in New Orleans, he learned that Gypsy's original muscle biopsy had come back negative, undermining Dee Dee's self-reported diagnosis of muscular dystrophy, as well as her claim that all Gypsy's records had been destroyed by flooding. He suspected the possibility of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. So Dee Dee stopped taking Gypsy to see him.
Oh my God.
Yep.
The one man trying to do right.
Yep, and he was the only one.
That's crazy.
All right. Put this as teachable moment.
Aww.
Factitious disorder imposed on another, also known as Munchausen syndrome by proxy, is a condition in which a caregiver creates the appearance of health problems in another person, typically their child.
Wow.
Just wanted to let the listeners know.
I learned something.
Oh, this is like whenever you think of Munchausen's by proxy, this is the case you think of.
Yeah.
At least me. Because it's like the most severe one I can even imagine. Alright, the doctor did not follow up by reporting Dee Dee to social services. He said he had been told by other doctors to treat the pair with, quote, golden gloves, and doubted the authorities would believe him anyway. In 2009, an anonymous caller told the police about Dee Dee's use of different names and birth dates for herself and her daughter and suggested Gypsy was in better health than claimed. Officers who performed the resulting wellness check accepted Dee Dee's explanation that she used the misinformation to make it harder for her abusive ex-husband to find her and Gypsy, and reported that Gypsy seemed to genuinely be mentally handicapped, and the file was closed. So they had, like, basically... What is that? Child Protective Services basically came out and was like, oh, we had an anonymous caller that, like, some shady shit's happening. And they were like, nah, it's okay. Bye.
And they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Bye. Thanks.
All right. Dee Dee seems to have at least one forged copy of her daughter's birth certificate, moving her birth date to 1995, to bolster claims that she was still a teenager. Gypsy said in later interviews that for 15 years, she was not sure of her real age.
That's just unnecessary.
Yeah, well, she was probably lying to her, like, whenever she was really young.
Yeah.
Because think about it, whenever you're young, you're like, I never questioned how old I was.
Yeah, like, I didn't count.
Like, yeah, you're like,
wait a minute.
Yeah, like... I remember all 14 of my birthdays. No, like, you would believe your mother.
Yeah.
Since 2001, Gypsy had attended science fiction and fantasy conventions. So, like, Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Sometimes in costume, since she could blend in, even in her wheelchair. At an event in 2011, she made an escape attempt that ended when her mother found her in a hotel room with a man she had met online. Dee Dee produced the paperwork giving Gypsy's false younger birth date and threatened to inform the police. Gypsy recalls that afterwards, Dee Dee smashed her computer with a hammer and threatened to do the same to her fingers if she ever tried to escape again.
Wow.
She also kept Gypsy leashed and handcuffed to her bed for 2 weeks.
I didn't know she tried to escape another time.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Dee Dee later told Gypsy that she had filed paperwork with the police claiming that Gypsy was mentally incompetent, leading Gypsy to believe that if she had attempted to go to the police for help, they would not believe her.
Aww.
Isn't that sad?
That is she's so just sad. Like, she's hopeless.
She's hopeless. She's trapped. And, like, in the show, I remember, like, they were sleeping in the same bed. Like,
yeah.
Couldn't do anything. And, yeah... It's so sad. All right. Sometime around 2012, Gypsy, who continued to use the internet after her mother had gone to bed to avoid her tightened supervision, made contact online with Nicholas Godejohn, a man around her age from Big Bend, Wisconsin. I have another fun fact. Fun fact!
Yeah!
They met on a Christian singles group.
Very Christian relationship they had.
They have the weirdest relationship, and obviously not Christian at all. So, like, I have no idea how they did that. Anyway, Godejohn had some issues of his own. A criminal record for indecent exposure and a history of mental illness... stated at times to be either dissociative identity disorder or autism. So they don't really say.
Yeah.
But either way, like, he's not all there. And she, like, I think the person I feel worse for in the story is him.
Yeah.
Dee Dee, that sucks. Or Gypsy. I mean, her life sucks dick. But, like, she didn't have to drag somebody else into it.
Yeah.
And... legit ruin his life.
The show really made it seem like she like, forced him into it.
Which, yeah.
I don't know if that's true in the real story or not.
Well, it's, the show does a really good job.
Does it?
Yeah. All right. In 2014, Gypsy confided to a neighbor friend that she and Go-To-John had discussed eloping and had even chosen names for potential children.
Aww.
Gypsy, who had 5 separate Facebook accounts, and Go-To-John flirted online, their exchanges sometimes using BDSM elements, which Gypsy had since claimed was more what he was interested in. Her neighbor tried to talk her out of it, despite it. It's really hard to talk whenever you're not drinking. God. Doing this sober sucks. All right. Despite Dee Dee's efforts to prevent her from using the internet, which went as far as destroying her daughter's phone and laptop, she maintained contact with Go-To-John, who saved printouts of the post Gypsy had shared until 2014. So I don't know how, if she didn't have a phone or a laptop, I don't know how she kept talking to him.
Carrier pigeon.
Cute. All right. The next year, Gypsy arranged and paid for Go-To-John to meet her mother in Springfield. Her plan was for him to just bump into her while she and Dee Dee were at a movie theater, both of them in costume, and apparently strike up a relationship that way. Just like a meet cute, right?
Aww.
Then for her to introduce him to her mother as soon as they did meet in person for the first time, Go-To-John says, Gypsy led him to the bathroom where the two had sex.
Not great.
Yeah. Not great. That part, their whole, like, sexual relationship in the show was so uncomfortable. Ugh. Who has sex at a bathroom floor? Gross. All right. The two continued their internet interactions and began developing their plan to kill Dee Dee. Dun, dun, dun.
She deserves it.
Even hotter goss.
Yeah, the hottest goss.
Go-To-John returned to Springfield in June 2015, arriving while Gypsy and her mother were away at a doctor's appointment. After they had returned home and Dee Dee had gone to sleep, he went to the Blanchard house. Gypsy let him in and gave him duct tape, gloves, and a knife, with the understanding that he would use them to murder Dee Dee. Gypsy claimed later that she did not expect him to be able to do it.
So it's just like,
I wanted him to do it, but I didn't think he'd actually do it.
We're just playing.
God, I didn't think he'd actually do it. It's his fault. All right. Gypsy hid in the bathroom and covered her ears so she would not have to hear her mother screaming. Go-To-John then stabbed Dee Dee several times in her back while she was asleep. The two had sex in Gypsy's room and took $4,000 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house. They fled to a motel outside Springfield where they stayed for a few days while planning their next move. Gypsy said at that point she believed the two had managed to get away with their crime.
Not very smart.
Get this. This part cracks me up. They mailed the murder weapon back to Go-To-John's home in Wisconsin.
Why?
To avoid being caught with it, and then took a bus. So I'm like, why?
Just throw it in a lake.
The murder weapon in the mail. Come on.
That's
okay.
So stupid. They find it, it has your address on it now.
It's so dumb.
Dummies.
Several witnesses saw the pair on their way to the Greyhound station and noted that Gypsy wore a blonde wig and walked unassisted. After seeing a concerning Facebook status posted from Dee Dee's account, the Blanchard's friends suspected something was not right. When phone calls went unanswered, several of them went to the house. So I know in the show, it was like, some real fucked up shit was posted on their Facebook. Mm-hmm. I did not look into it very much because I just looked on Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
But they did not mention what the posts were on Wikipedia. So I don't know what it says.
I remember they were pretty vulgar.
They were extremely vulgar in the show. Like, I cut that bitch and I liked it or something like that. I was like, damn, it's your mom. Calm down. All right. While they knew that the two often left on medical trips unannounced, they saw that Dee Dee's car was still in the driveway, making that explanation unlikely. Protective film on the windows made it hard to see inside in the low light. No one answered the door, so they called 911. When the police arrived, they had to wait for a search warrant to be issued before they could enter, but they allowed one of the neighbors present to climb through a window.
Just cause.
So, like, I don't get that. The police are like, I can't go in, but you can.
Break into this house. I'll look away.
When he saw that the house, where he saw that the inside of the house was largely undisturbed. When the warrant was issued, police entered the house and soon found Dee Dee's body.
Wait, so the person who went through the window didn't find it?
I guess not. I guess they didn't go look. Like, they probably just looked in and was like, it looks like a house, and walked out. I don't know. When the warrant was issued, police entered the house and soon found Dee Dee's body. A GoFundMe account was set up to pay for her funeral expenses and possibly Gypsy's. All who knew the Blanchards feared the worst. Even if Gypsy had not been harmed, they believed she would be helpless without her wheelchair, medications, and support equipment like the oxygen tanks and feeding tube. So they all just, they see Dee Dee dead, and they assume somebody basically broke in, killed her, and stole Gypsy.
Yeah.
So that's what everybody thinks.
So that'd be really scary if you don't know their story. It's just this helpless girl's mom is dead.
Mm-hmm. That's scary. And this girl who can't walk or do anything on her own is just snatched.
She's just out there, and her wheelchair's still here.
Her blonde wig is gone. It's weird. So, that neighbor friend Gypsy confided in told the police about her secret online boyfriend. She showed them the printouts she had saved, which I don't know why Gypsy would give her printouts.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Very weird.
There's a lot of dumb things she did, okay? Which included his name. Based on that information, police asked Facebook to trace the IP address from which the posts to Dee Dee's account had been made. It turned out to be in Wisconsin. The next day, police raided the Goda John's home. Both he and Gypsy surrendered and were taken into custody on charges of murder and a felony armed criminal action. The news that Gypsy was safe was greeted with relief back in Springfield, where she and Goda John were soon extradited and held on a $1 million bond. The media in Springfield soon reported the truth of the Blanchards' lives, that Gypsy had never been sick and had always been able to walk, but her mother had made her pretend otherwise using physical abuse to control her.
So she knows that she can walk, obviously, because she walks, but does she think that any of the other stuff is true? Or does she know it's all fake?
I don't think so. I think she knows it's all fake.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like the one person you should be lying to.
Yeah, right? I mean,
yeah, I guess because she didn't bring her medicine and her oxygen, whatever.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Can you imagine being, like, her neighbor, too, and hearing that? Like, being so involved in their lives and feeling so bad for them to hear that?
She's fine. She just killed her mom. No big deal.
She's fine. All right, the trials. After the disclosure of how Dee Dee had treated Gypsy all those years, sympathy for her as the victim of a violent murder rapidly shifted to her daughter as a long-term victim of child abuse. After her attorney obtained her medical records from Louisiana, he secured a plea bargain to second-degree murder for Gypsy instead of just murder. So, I guess, I don't know the different degrees of murder.
First degree is, like, planned ahead of time, right? And second degree is, like, oops.
Whoops.
Killed you.
Accident.
Yeah.
Is there a third degree where you kill your abusive mom? That's what she should have gotten. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Second degree murder. In July 2015, she accepted the plea bargain agreement and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. That's it.
Good.
10 years.
Free her.
Goda John still faced the more severe charge because prosecutors contended that he initiated the murder plot. And both he and Gypsy agreed that he was the one who actually killed Dee Dee. In January 2017, his trial was postponed when prosecutors requested a second psychiatric exam. His lawyers contended that he has an intelligence quotient of 82, I don't know what that's out of, and is in fact on the autism spectrum. So he might have other stuff going on too, mm-hmm. but like, she definitely took advantage of him.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. After 4 days, the case was sent to the jury. Jurors had the option of finding Gottejohn not guilty or guilty of one of three murder charges. Involuntary manslaughter, second-degree murder, or first-degree murder. So I guess involuntary manslaughter would be, in my mind, third degree. So I guess that's like the least bad out of killing people. After approximately 2 hours of deliberation, they returned with the verdict, and Gottejohn was found guilty of first-degree murder and armed criminal action. In February 2019, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murder conviction, the only possible option since prosecutors had declined to seek the death penalty. So that's good, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, that sucks that he's life in prison, but at least he's not going to die.
That's sad. It seems like he's the one with, like, the mental capacity to not know what he's doing, and he's the one who has to go forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, free both of them, but...
Yeah. I mean, there is the point, though, like, if he did only get 10 years, what kind of life would he live outside of prison?
That's true.
I mean, sad, but yeah. At least he's getting taken care of?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is just depressing.
It's a very depressing... It's a very depressing story. All right. Aftermath. Here's, I have just a few quotes. This is a quote from a neighbor. What have I been believing? How could I have been so stupid? Yep.
Well.
Yep.
You know.
Here's a quote from the sheriff of Springfield. In Springfield, we are a giving community. We surround people with love and finances that we believe that they need. However, a lot of times we are deceived, and I think this is now so true in this case at hand. Dee Dee's family in Louisiana, who had confronted her about her treatment of Gypsy years before, did not regret her death. None of them would pay for her funeral or even pick up her ashes. Her father and stepmother ultimately flushed them down the toilet.
Well, that's what you get.
Rod Blanchard, Gypsy's father, is less critical. Quote, I think Dee Dee's problem was she started a web of lies and there was no escaping after. And then here is another quote from Gypsy herself. I feel like I'm more free in prison than living with my mom, because now I'm allowed to just live like a normal woman. And one last quote, which breaks my heart, from Gypsy. I think she would have been the perfect mom for someone that actually was sick.
Aww.
Yeah. So it's really weird, like, she still obviously, clearly loved her mom, but yeah. She was just so... trapped.
That was like her only way out.
Yeah, or she thought. So yeah, again, my only sources were Wikipedia, but like I said, I watched the drama, mini drama series called The Act on Hulu, which is
really good.
Extremely well done, so I highly recommend it, but it is a drama, so it's not like, what am I thinking of? A documentary.
Yeah.
But it is very good. Yeah.
That's so sad.
I know. It's like, I feel bad for everybody. Like,
I know.
There's no winners in this story.
There really isn't.
Just different levels of suck.
Yeah.
And that's 2020 for you.
Yep. Perfect 2020 story.
Perfect ending to 2020.
So how many years has she been in prison?
I know, no, that was in, like, 2017, I think, or 2015.
Oh, so she still has a while.
Yeah, at least 5 more years.
But... I think she'll be fine when she gets out, because she has so much support.
Yeah.
People love her.
Yeah, and like, she wasn't the one to actually kill her mom, so, mm-hmm. like, she's not the murderer.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. Like, it's so fucked up. I feel so bad for that guy, that kid, that poor kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll read her memoir when she writes it.
Yeah.
I'll fund her. I'll go fund her.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
It's so sad. And, like, I don't know. I don't know what, if I was in that situation of Dee Dee, like, or of Gypsy, what I would do. I can't even, like, comprehend it. Like,
I can't imagine, like, planning out the whole meeting at the movie theater. And
that's so weird. Hey,
how do you even plan that when you have no life experience?
I don't know.
Bizarre.
I don't know. I don't know how she did anything.
Pretty gross.
Without, like, if you were basically taught to be, like, an inside cat, mm-hmm. wouldn't you just, like, eventually conform?
Yeah, just go with it.
But maybe, I mean, she was a teenager.
That's true.
So maybe she's got, like, all that angst.
Yeah.
You know,
she rebellious. Can't go emo, so she makes a BDSM MySpace page. She can't listen to My Chemical Romance, so she kills her mom. These things are important. You need an outlet.
Oh my god. Oh, I love that. That's gonna be the title of this episode. Alright, well, sorry that was a long one. I've been wanting to do this story for a while.
It was good.
I'm so glad you're back.
I'm so glad to be back.
So glad you're safe, and I love you.
I love you.
But don't touch me yet.
I won't.
Alright, well, happy New Year's Eve.
Celebrate.
I hope this was something to, you know, fill the void of not getting to party.
Very sorry that you can't party.
But you know what? You can drink with us.
Yeah.
Right now.
Clink.
Clink. I'll drink my water.
I'll sit here.
You can watch me.
I'll watch you drink water and commentate.
Okay.
Wow, she drank that water.
It was really refreshing. Well, let's go get a drink.
Okay.
For our next episode.
Sounds good.
Alright, well, find us on social media, Unholy Gossip Girls on Facebook and Instagram, at Girls Unholy on Twitter, and email us whatever you want to email us.
Pictures literally of your dog.
Literally anything.
Pictures of your lizard.
Do it. Whatever you want.
Pictures of your cat.
Just no pictures of your feet, okay? Yeah,
please don't.
We're not into that.
I'll block you.
Email us, unholygossipgirls@gmail.com. We will see you literally tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye.